people that are the most successful negotiators come from what would be called a stereotypical feminine model, where they have a lot more empathy, have a lot more understanding. And to take that a step further, and the lawyers that I've worked with, the really, really, really good ones, were women. And a lot of the times they would be able to step back, and where you wanted to be, go on the attack within an affidavit, they would go, don't include that, it's not relevant. Don't include that, it's not relevant. And they would still, and you're looking at it going, why aren't we having this fight? You know, and you know what it's like writing affidavits and that kind of thing. You get right into the detail. Well, they'd cut most of this out going, it's not relevant. Let's keep it simple for the judge, and they would win.
I get it, because they're more personable.
Yeah.
And you can forget the human aspect to it. So I'm a trained mediator.
Yes.
So I get it. I resigned from my law practice to become a full-time mediator. It was just a bit too soon back there in the 2000s, really, where lawyers weren't yet ready to give up their cases into mediation. You just kept through the traditional back to the
court. You don't get as much fees there. Oh, sorry, I'm getting facetious.
Absolutely, I ain't giving my fees. I need to take, yeah, exactly. So the female is going to be so much more personable. Sometimes, and we use the term, I know we drifted onto this, but the law is an ass. That's the term I learned when I was training. The law is an ass. Can be. And sometimes you lift your head up and say, actually, that's what the law says. Let's look at a more practical solution. And sometimes it's so much more the practical solution that is going to win the day.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because this is where, I mean, it all relates to what we're talking about, what is manly. This is finding this framework for men who are lost. And bringing in the law that you're talking about helps us guide that, because it is, you know, do we sit there and have that fight? Or do we go, okay, you know, I can be this Arnold Schwarzenegger macho image thing, and I'm going to have this big fight and stand on top of this, you know, smoldering rubble. Or I can, as you say, I can go look at it and step back and go, well, what's a practical solution that's going to work for everybody? That's coming back to what we was talking about before. Is it a case of we now have these choices that we can make, but we haven't actually taught people how to make those choices?
Absolutely. Now, everything that we're talking about men and is encapsulated in a book that I read just 3 years ago by John Eldridge, called Wild at Heart. It's a significant book. If I have my way, I'd make every man read it. But it's a significant book, because it just helps to take us through the journey of how us men have, in a sense, lost our backbone. Really, we've become emasculated. We're not blaming others. I'm certainly not blaming women, that's not what I'm doing, but I am saying society has somehow emasculated us men along the way, and there's something about how we refined masculinity, because actually we want our women to be feminine, and I think women do want the men to be masculine in truth. Obviously, if you're a heterosexual in that way, in that dynamic.
Well, I think said all the friends of mine in same-sex relationships, there is a feminine and masculine in that relationship. I haven't seen one, and I'm sure maybe they exist, but where they're both masculine or both feminine, there's one of each in that relationship, even though they're same sex. But the point that you're talking about there, which is what I wanted to, because you talked about it as well, this bonding. I made that note there. You talked about bonding, and I liken it to when I was young, my dad would take me, and I guess because I wanted to go to play golf or play bowls with him. And we would go, and he was part of a social golf club. So it was just a bunch of guys that went to different golf clubs in the area. With the bowls as well, he was a member of a club, but the club went and played bowls with at other clubs. But what happened was after I initially went with my dad, all of a sudden I'd be paired off, well, quadded off, is that if that's the right term for golf? You know, there's four people that go off. So I'd go off with three other guys. And same in the bowls, if we're playing, you know, triples or you know, as a four, I'd be with, you know, two or three other guys, generally older guys. Now, because I was quite young doing this. And what I found, and maybe it was just fortunate that these guys were gentlemen, they weren't misogynistic assholes. They, you know, and so I was obviously learning to play. And so I was getting some guidance. So I was in a position where I could ask questions. And when I look back on it, I had some really, really good mentors about being a man. Now, yeah. What I'm wondering is now when we look at it, especially when you talk about society and emasculating men, and I don't think it was intentional, but do you think the fact that we've gone to, you know, women can have women's gyms and not complaining about that, not saying that's a wrong thing, but if a man was to, if they were to have a men's only gym, and I was talking with someone who had a rock climbing thing where, you know, the women get together and do some rock climbing, but the men, the organization won't even go there with having a men only climbing experience because it'd be deemed sexist. Do you think, and I said not saying it was intentional, but do you think that loss of this male bonding because it's deemed sexist has had part of that negative effect to men feeling emasculated?
I'm sure it has. I'm sure it has. I probably won't expand it beyond that to say I'm sure it has. But as you were talking, sharing your experience with your dad, and you touched the thing of bonding, Damien, I think where I would go back to is I would strip it all back and say, fantastic. No matter what happened in that day, Damien had an experience of a day out with his dad.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to is to say, Damien, many of us never have that day out with our dads at all. It's not even a memory that we can call upon. That experience is lacking all of the time, or most of the time, or rarely happened. And I'm talking about just pushing a car along the carpet to each other, kicking the football outside, being taken to a football match, cleaning the car with dad. You're together.
Yeah.
That creates the bonding and the regularity of being together, kicking leaves.
Yeah.
No big event, just together is what creates the bonding. But what I want you to understand is there are significant numbers of us who don't have that experience at all to call back upon.